Otaku Overload, Episode 3.
Crazy Japanese ass-tick-tastic music, rocking faces with my music, rocking ladies with my blatant lack of talent. Give your ears a music seizure. THX 1138 Theater. Side effects may include loving your favorite band just a little bit less, though. Go to Burger King in a Spider-Man costume, chilling in the play place, hiding in the ballroom. Cuter than a puppy riding on a Pokemon. Playing my ditties when to get your game on. Nothing comes close, not before or after. Impossible that I get much faster. All of your basement art belongs to us. Just take it like a man, sir.
Yeah. Welcome to another episode of Otaku Overload. I'm Kira.
I'm Zero.
And Yuki's off jacking off to Skyrim.
There is no question in that statement.
In all actuality, he's not exactly feeling too well either. He's pretty much right now has the same problem that Zero here had.
I had a cold.
AIDS!
That's just him being stupid. It was actually a cold.
But yeah, now, we don't have really any emails or comments to read or respond to.
Right at the moment, we have no shout-outs to give. But we still...
Shout-outs or fucks to give.
But we appreciate every single listener we have. We're loading statistics now to see how many we actually have. But
yeah, we'll actually get back to that later once it actually is like, hey, yeah, you can check your stats now. Yeah. Going on into the news, Namco Bandai is going to be releasing a Saint Seiya game onto the PS3.
And that is what, exactly?
Those of you who don't know what Saint Seiya is, if you're used to the American market, it was called Knights of the Zodiac back in the day.
Oh, right. Duh.
Which, one, I'm not exactly too, fond that they changed the title just for, just for the round eyes.
To be fair, back then, Americanization was extremely used, so.
Yeah, as of recently, Namco Bandai has released the game's opening to stream, and it's actually up on YouTube.
Although we could always just post the link to our Facebook page.
True. Anyway, the official website for the Saint Seiya Senki cinematic melee action game began streaming the opening movie for the game on Thursday. The video features Pegasus Fantasy, the opening theme song for the 1986-1989 anime series.
Although we got it in the 90s.
Yeah, like the mid to late 90s.
God bless the 90s.
The website's already streaming introductory videos for the characters, as well as 4 teaser videos and 2 commercials for the game itself. Namco Bandai will ship the game for the PS3 console in Japan on November 23rd. It will recreate the Sanctuary arc of Masami Kurumada's Saint Seiya mythological fantasy anime. As the player faces waves of countless enemies. So think of Dynasty Warrior, but Saint Seiya.
Does it say anything about if we're getting this game?
Well, I'm pretty sure they're going to be getting it. I mean, it's Saint Seiya, one of the biggest anime ever.
It was popular back in its day, so we might get it.
A little bit of side note on that whole thing. The manga is marking its 25th anniversary this year. And Toei Animation has confirmed earlier this year that a new computer-animated film of Saint Seiya has been greenlit, so expect a Saint Seiya movie to come about before too long.
That's pretty awesome.
I actually can't wait for it. I'm looking forward to it.
Let me know when you find it. I want to see this.
And, going further back into gaming, Square Enix is going to be releasing a game called Lord of Apocalypse, and the promo video has been released. The game publisher Square Enix, or Enix, or however we want to pronounce it, began streaming a promo video for its action role-playing game, Lord of Apocalypse, on Wednesday. The game will feature the voices of Shizuka Ito as Laron, Tomokazu Sugita as Ruth, Ai Kayano as Yuno, and Nobuyuki Hiyama as Dolfstein. Lord of Apocalypse will allow up to 4 players to play simultaneously. The game's official website currently features game-related manga shorts. The game will be released in Japan on December 17th on both the PlayStation Portable and the PlayStation Vita. And the game will retail for about 5,980 yen, which is about $80 American, for both the PSP and the PS Vita, and 4,980 yen, which is about $65 on the PlayStation Network. For those of you who don't know what the PlayStation Vita is, by the way, it's this new PSP that they've been working on.
It's like a kind of like a foam PSP thing.
Actually, you're thinking of the Sony Xperia.
Oh,
you're thinking of the Xperia Play. But no, this thing is granted, this device does have 3G.
Beautiful.
You can get it through phone companies.
Loving it.
But yeah, it has two analog sticks, has touch screens, 3G and Wi-Fi, and it so far it seems pretty awesome. I can actually say I'm looking forward to Lords of Apocalypse.
I'm not sure myself.
I'm big on, you know, like, these kind of games.
I'm aware.
And rolling further into the PlayStation Vita world.
Who doesn't love PlayStation?
Katamari Damacy no Vita is actually going to be featuring a stage where you roll around in an otaku's room. The official website for Namco Bandai's game, Katamari Damacy no Vita, revealed that the game will feature a stage where players can roll up objects in an otaku's room. You'll be rolling up items such as Bishoujo figures, cup noodle containers, and other things of the sort. So be expecting to find, like, you know, crusty tissues, too.
Lovely.
Katamari Damacy no Vita will be one of the launch titles for the PlayStation Vita in Japan, and it'll be coming out on December 17th. Like in the previous games, the player rolls the Katamari ball to collect items, make the ball bigger, and pretty much destroy the world inadvertently just by, you know, rolling up things.
This guy is addicted to these games. I mean, seriously, on our first MomoCon trip, he played this all night.
I really did. I gotta give Katamari its props. It's an amazing game. Anyway, unlike the other games, though, however, the players can use the PlayStation Vita's front and rear touch panels instead of buttons to move the ball.
Lovely.
Players can also use the touch panels to stretch or shrink the Katamari ball. By expanding the ball, players can collect a lot more material on open planes. On the flip side, players can shrink the ball to make it narrower to navigate alleyways for items, pretty much allowing for more dimensions and more variety in how to play the game, instead of just, oh, I can't go this way anymore because I'm big. Okay, never mind. The new game, players can collect and change costumes for the King of All Cosmos, download more stages, and listen to songs by popular artists. Shigeru Matsukaze sang the theme song Katamari on the stage in the game's most recent video. You should try and find the video for the gameplay up on YouTube. I'm pretty sure it's up. Again, like Zero said, I'm a big Katamari fan, so...
He's an addict.
I like me some Katamari.
He does.
Anyway, that's all for that bit of news, and then... Now we got the Japanese comic rankings.
This is going to become a regular thing for us.
At number 5...
You may want to lower this. You're up. Oh, never mind, you're good.
At rank 5 is Toriko number 17 by Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. Number 4 is Gintama number 42 by Hideaki Sorachi.
Number 3 is Naruto number 58, which was number 2 last time.
But it just, of course, I'm pretty sure we all know it's Masashi Kishimoto. Number 2 is Real, number 11, by Takahiko Inoue, which I'm pretty sure some of us would recognize him as the creator of Bleach.
And number 1 still is One Piece, number 64,
by Eiichiro Oda.
This guy knows how to do stuff.
I've not
gotten the chance to go back to One Piece yet. What about you?
I still don't really have any interest.
I have interest, I've just not had the chance.
But... Now, granted, these listings are a little outdated. These were the 7th through 13th listings.
That's not that bad. I mean, it's only...
Because, I mean, we're recording this episode right now on the 20th.
It's only about a week.
But still, One Piece is still standing strong right there at number 1.
With over 2 million copies.
That's still just pretty...
That's...
Pretty crazy.
That seems impossible to beat at this point, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Real came in at number 2, and it's only at,
100.
It's only at 198,000.
Naruto, what was before that, was only 877,000. And that was number 2 last time. So, One Piece is standing strong.
Yeah. And, we got one last bit of news here.
This concerns our MomoCon visit upcoming in March.
Now, I'm sure a lot of you might be into Abridged series.
I am. That's, like, my specialty.
Like, Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged, Yu Hakusho The Abridged, Naruto The Abridged, One Piece The Abridged.
None Piece, actually. It's called None Piece.
None Piece. Oh, my God. I jacked up the title.
And Code Ment, which is Code Geass.
Don't kill me, little Karibu. Yeah.
And that's right. The king of Abridged series himself, little Karibu, is going to MomoCon.
Also known as Martin Belani.
Right. But seriously, that's right, the creator of the Abridged world himself. We're going to do our best, but I won't make any promises here, to try to score an interview.
I mean, this guy's pretty big in the Abridged world, if you don't know. I mean, he did the Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged and does all of the voices himself.
With the exception of a few.
And he made cameos in the Death Note Abridges, Naruto, Sonic X, Trinity Blood, Pokemon, Fullmetal Alchemist, and Sailor Moon.
Yu-Gi-Oh! GX?
Oh, yeah, the GX Abridged by Shady Fox.
Dark Side Incorporated.
Dark Side Incorporated, my bad.
Shady Fox is part of it, though. I mean, seriously, guys, if you have not watched Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, check it out. I mean, the first few episodes, the audio isn't that good. That's because that's when he was first starting. But it's become amazing. I mean, seriously, the video and editing quality they're phenomenal. I mean, he's turned all of our favorite characters into, like, shallow versions of themselves, but you can't help but love it. Like, Yugi... Yugi is a whiny little bitch, to say the least.
A little bit, yeah.
Kaiba is...
Screw the rules, I have money.
Merrick is... Greetings, fools. It is I, Merrick Ishtar, and I am here to enslave you all. And then we've got... the Pharaoh himself, which is... Okay, let's put it like this. Well... Wait, isn't she that rude lesbian? Wait. What makes you think she's a lesbian? Well, she didn't want to sleep with me. And then, of course... You gotta check out all these kind of abridges. I mean, seriously, each one is unique in its own way.
King of Games.
King of Games. We've got Little Kariba, who's does Yu-Gi-Oh. We've got not Masako X anymore, but we've got Vegeta3986, who does Naruto, with some people I can't remember. I'm sorry to you both if you ever hear this. And we've got Lenny Pator, who does Yu Yu Hakusho. We've got Purple Eyes WTF, who does Code Ment and Nut Piece. We've got... And there's so much more. I can't even begin to go there.
But, yeah. Lil' Kribo will be a featured guest at the at MomoCon this coming year. So, definitely think about checking this out. It's something, you know, to behold.
Seriously. I really want to meet this guy.
Also... Other guests showing up at MomoCon this year. Sketch McQuinner, who I'm sure the name doesn't ring a bell, but I'm sure you'll know who he is after I say this. The lead animator on Adult Swim show Squidbillies will be showing up.
I'm not a fan myself.
I can't wait to, you know, see this guy and, you know, meet him. I'm actually wanting to try and get an interview with him too if I absolutely can.
Even though it has nothing to do with anime.
Well, I mean, pretty much a general nerd show,
I guess.
And the only other real, like, guests or artists I can say I'm interested in is coming to MomoCon as performing artists, you know, for your entertainment is the Atlanta Imaginarium Performance and Musical Troupe, the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Improv Troupe, and Go Robo Go, a nerd rock band.
Yeah, that sounds kind of nerdish.
I haven't heard this group yet, but I'm interested in hearing what they sound like.
I am not much of a music person.
You've made this painfully clear.
I'm sorry.
Anyway.
The statistics are still not loaded.
Oh well, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. We'll continue to check it.
Anyway. I guess we'll go ahead and jump on into the reviews now, since we don't really want to waste too much time.
Indeed.
And today's theme is...
Gundams!
Yep. Today I'm going to be covering the Gundam Wing Endless Waltz, hold up, manga.
Yeah, apparently the movie has a manga.
Yeah, which is pretty much a direct, you know, like, adaptation.
Seriously?
Pretty much. Like, it's like the entire movie in this one volume.
But isn't he supposed to be, you know...
Nope.
I thought he...
Nope. And the stats still ain't loading.
Well, damn.
Oh, well.
We'll check it later. I myself am going to be reviewing my personal favorite, Gundam Seed.
Boo!
I will hit you.
Debate for the ages. Which is better, Wing or Seed?
It depends on what you're into.
I like the boys that wear the short shorts and the green tank tops. Anyway, I guess I'll jump on this pony by starting us off.
Go nuts.
Now, I'm sure anybody that's into modern anime and manga knows what Gundam is.
You know, if you don't, you deserve to be smacked.
You know, the giant mechs that have been showing up since, like, you know, 1979 or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right, actually.
You know, with, like, Mobile Suit Gundam, G Gundam, Gundam Wing, SD Gundam, Gundam Seed, Gundam Double 008.
Gundam 00. Then there's also Gundam Unicorn, I think.
There's a lot of Gundam.
It's been going on for...
Gundam Seed Destiny.
Gundam Seed Destiny was good, but I like regular Gundam Seed better.
Like, there's a lot to Gundam.
It's been going on for 30 years, and it still appears to be going strong.
Yep. Well, I am going to be talking about the movie for one of the biggest Gundam series ever, Gundam Wing. Now, for those of you who don't know what Gundam Wing is, it was one of the biggest Gundam anime in America because it was right on the cusp of our generation, to where, you know, people saw it on Toonami. And it was, like, it was targeted towards the younger audience, which pretty much became, you know, our current generation of otaku now.
It was paired along with Dragon Ball Z and Sailor Moon, mostly.
Like, a lot of people like to say that the giant robot genre, you know, the mech thing, isn't really popular anymore.
Bull!
It's in a lot of forums, which I can kind of agree. Like, some of them are very cheesy and very lame. But there's a lot of good ones out there, though, like Gundam, Big O, Evangelion.
Code Geass has its moments. You've not seen it, but...
And, you know, there's things like that. There's series that are really good, but I think of what brought Gundam Wing into the, you know, current generation of fans is more the storytelling than it was actually the Gundams. But anyway.
I think that's how it is with most Gundam series. Don't you think?
Yeah, G Gundam was really the only one that focused more on the Gundams than it did the storytelling.
To be fair, though, the point of it was the Gundam Fight Tournament and the Dark Gundam.
Yeah. I mean...
Although that was to be honest with you, that was the first Gundam series I ever actually saw. I didn't get into Wing all that much.
Wing was the first one I ever saw, and it still holds true to being my favorite.
G Gundam was my favorite, and I watched other Gundam series. I watched SD Gundam.
God, SD is a joke. As a Gundam.
If you're a kid, it's fun to watch. If you're a kid. But aside from that, no. Just
speaking
no.
of Gundam, Garzy's Wing.
Yes, indeed.
I'll be crossing into that territory at the end of the show.
He's not kidding.
Anyway, now, Gundam Wing was so popular in the fact that it got its own movie, and it was actually brought to America. Well, that movie was so popular that it was actually put into two formats, movie and manga. Now, the Gundam Wing, if you've seen the movie, you've read the manga, you know it's the same thing.
I haven't.
Or if you've read the manga, you've seen the movie.
I haven't.
The manga starts right at the end of the war, where... Right at the beginning, you see them launching their Gundams into the sun.
That's pretty cool.
Like, on a spaceship, and it's like, yep, see you, Gundams. Bye-bye. So we don't need you anymore.
So they're destroying their Gundams?
They plan to. And it's actually on Christmas Eve when all this happens.
Lovely. Merry Christmas, I'm destroying my Gundams.
And, like, everybody thinks that world peace has been attained, but,
Bull!
No, like, this one colony decides to try and, pretty much, for lack of a better phrase, tries to jack their shit up.
If you ever watch a Gundam series, you know there's no such thing as lasting peace. Give it about 10 minutes, or 2 years, and you're gonna see trouble.
Give it about a month, you got more war. There's always war. It's Gundam, there's always war.
Seriously, the only one that didn't have war was G Gundam, and that war was settled through Gundam fights.
Pretty much boxing matches between giant mechs with knives. Anyway.
I like knives. They make me feel all tingly.
The story actually follows this family called the Barton family. And, they're trying to take over the Earth and pretty much, you know, rule it.
Big shocker.
Well, of course, the Gundam guys try to stop it. They do their best to, you know, keep it from happening and all that.
How'd that go?
Well, I'm not going to spoil the movie too much, or the manga too much.
It's the same thing.
I'm not going to spoil Endless Waltz too much. But, this actually does go pretty deep, though, in, like, the characters' pasts and their, and, like, how they got to be where they are in the events of this, of Gundam.
Does that include Mr. I will follow any order, even if it means blowing up my own Gundam?
Is that Hero?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, so, I'm not gonna tell you what happened, but it actually portrays one of his missions that led to a very horrible event.
Of the series?
Like, it didn't really hold much ground to, the rest of the series, but what happened, though, holds a lot of ground for him personally.
Hey, I have a question. Most anime-based movies have no tie to the actual story. Is this one hold true to that, or is it actually canon?
Well, okay, well, like I said, it takes place, like, right after, like, peace was established, and after, you know, I'm just gonna say the bad guys, I can't remember the name of the evil force, but, like, right after the bad guys are beat, that's when this takes place. Mm-hmm. So, like, this is one of those things you don't have to, you know, watch or read to get all the story.
It's just something to watch?
It's something interesting to catch, because it reveals quite a few, like, key plot points to some of the characters as to, like, who they are.
I swear, I keep meaning to watch this series, but I keep forgetting.
And, like, it's a very great series. It's a great, very great manga and a very great anime. And, like, it's got some great storytelling to it. It's, like, there's not much I can really give away without giving away too much. Because, like, there's a lot. I'm only covering something that's only about an hour and a half long. Or, in this case, that's only, like, one volume long.
Guess that?
It's a really great manga. All throughout it, I'm pretty sure the events only take place over about maybe a day. Maybe less than that.
198 pages.
Yeah, so I'm only covering 198 pages.
An hour and a half or 198 pages.
So, there's not much I can really talk about there, but I would definitely want to say, I'll definitely say check it out. Like, go to whatever, you know, torrenting site or streaming site you go to.
I recommend either AnimeFreak.tv or JustDubs.net.
JustDubs is pretty cool.
I enjoy it. It's one of my favorites.
I do, I get my torrents from BakaBT.
Yeah, if you just want to stream it like I usually do, just go to JustDubs or AnimeFreak.
I would definitely say, though, it's really worth checking out.
I keep meaning to, I just keep forgetting.
I definitely give Endless Waltz a 5 out of 5.
I will plead indifference until I actually get the chance to sit down. Oh, thank you, even though I've never seen the series.
Like, well, you don't really need too much prequisite knowledge to read it either. Because, like, it gives a very light recap at the beginning of the manga. Very light, you know, pretty much saying, like, yo, this happened, they were in a war, and now the war's over, and, yeah.
Oh, well, fantastic. I'll give this a read, then.
And I'm not going to say the spoiler, but you actually find out the true identity of Troa Barton in this.
Who's that? The guy with the mask?
Troa Barton is the guy that pilots the heavy arms. With the long hair that's in the front of his face.
I only watched the first episode.
You'll find out later.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my review.
All right.
Darzee's Wing.
Indeed, yes. All right, moving on. We're moving on to my favorite, Gundam Seed. Now, mine's going to be a little longer than his, since mine's actually recapping the series as opposed to the movie. And before I even start, yes, Gundam Seed was rumored to start a movie. They were going to have it done, but can you hand me your computer for a sec? I need to check something out. I don't remember the full details at this particular second, so I'm trying to look this up.
I would like to, just go ahead and point out that I will be reviewing the entire Gundam series down the line, just after I handle my Trigun and Eye Shield reviews that I plan to do.
Hey, where's Firefox on this thing?
It's over here.
Oh, okay.
Well, in the time while he does that, I'm going to talk about Garzy's Wing.
Go nuts. This will take me
I'm
going
to go ahead and do a second review. My other review is Garzy's Wing.
Oh, lovely.
Garzy's Wing is by the same creator of Gundam. So
it loosely fits to our Gundam theme.
It's by Yoshiyuki Tomino.
It loosely fits to our Gundam theme.
The same dude. But now, the thing about Garzy's Wing, it's part of the series called the Bison Whale Story. So it follows, like, the Wings of Reen, I believe Heavy Metal Elgheim, and like, all these other parts of the story by Tomino, which is part of the Bison Whale Saga. Well, Garzy's Wing was his worst attempt at it.
His worst attempt at what?
Garzy's Wing was his worst attempt at the Bison Whale story.
Lovely.
When I watched this thing, I thought I had a corrupted file at first. I was just like, what? Is this messed up? Did the file skip, like, the first 5 minutes or something? Nope. Automatically shows him about to head out to his high school reunion talking to this girl, and they're both yelling at each other, but not intentionally. That's just how the voice acting is. They're just talking, but the voice acting makes it sound like it's yelling. Then, like, he's off riding in the distance to some cheesy, you know, like, 80s motorcycle riding music. And then all of a sudden, like, he's riding down the road, and then his necklace starts rattling, and he's like, what is this? My necklace is rattling. Could it be because of the Shiratori Shrine? Like, he didn't actually know this, and then it cuts to the shrine.
In enormous subtitles, by the way, it says, the Shrine!
Just says, the Shrine.
In all caps. And yes, for some bizarre reason, the English dub has subtitles.
In the file I had, yes. But now, the weirdest part is yet to come. Here it comes.
Male nudity!
Next thing you know, his necklace starts glowing and rattling some more, and then a giant goose spirit sweeps away his naked soul. But he's still riding the motorcycle, but his spirit isn't.
Is he playing a card game while riding the motorcycle?
No.
Damn.
Now he's being transported to the Bison Whale world. Well, butt-ass naked. Like he is butt-naked.
Since Yuki is not here, I'll do this for him. Male nudity!
Like, I know I keep talking about Garzy's Wing, but it's just so damn bad I have to talk about it.
I'm not sure if he's advising you to watch it or if he's giving you a warning, by the way.
Right as soon as he transported into the Bison Well World 2, like, right out the gate, he's, like, they're fighting, and then, like, he suddenly picks up, like, a stick and starts fighting off these trained soldiers with ease.
Watch as I beat you with this mighty... Oh, I got it. Say hello to my boomstick!
You don't need to yell so loud. The mic's just, like, right here.
I was trying to put emphasis on here.
The mic's, like, you know, a foot away from you.
I don't care.
Anyway.
That's
and then, like, all of a sudden, the whole time he's butt naked, too. Butt naked, until they actually give him a shirt. Male nudity.
Project Manass.
Seriously, just Manass the whole time.
I don't know how he fought butt-ass naked.
And then, like, the whole time while he's fighting naked, too, he's got glowing wings on his ankles.
How is he fighting with that? I would trip up so much.
I don't even. And then... And the whole time this, like, tribe he's fighting with is escaping, but the whole time... At the same time, though, they... It seems to manage that they're standing in the same spot the whole time as well. And, like... Then it goes to the stupidest part of the first episode. Where this dude in gold armor is talking to the king. Where the worst line was... but if they didn't, then how did Garzy's wing appear?
Indeed, yes!
Like, he just, indeed, yes!
They're yelling all of this, by the way.
And it's like, it's just... He answered a how did this happen with a yes.
How?
Like, how did that happen? Yep.
How?
It's by far not the worst anime out there.
I call shenanigans.
It's definitely not the best.
By any means.
I mean, like, seriously, Tomino has actually made it clear that he doesn't want anybody even asking him about Garzy's wing. Or any of the Bison Well stories because of Garzy's wing.
That shows how badly it sucks.
And, like, he denies him even making it. And he's had moments where he was just, like, yeah, interview me if you like, just don't ask questions about Garzy's wing.
I don't even know.
If I was to interview
him... Didn't we learn that every time he makes a new Gundam story, he has to make a new Garzy's wing?
Like, I remember hearing that. Like, whenever he makes a Gundam, he makes a Bison Well series.
That's horrible. And how many Gundams are there?
Quite a few. Like, what's funny is that, like, every creator has that series they want to be known for. Like, like, for example, the guy that made Lone Wolf and Cub, he wants to be known for The Crying Freeman.
Rumiko Takahashi wants to be remembered for Inuyasha.
Actually, I believe she probably want to be known for, like, Maison Ikkoku or something like that.
Oh, I like to.
Because, like, Inuyasha is what she's known for. Maison Ikkoku and the Rumi Theater are like, her least known works.
I'm aware of Maison. I never actually read past the first chapter.
Maison was one of my favorite series for a while.
I liked Ranma and Inuyasha.
But in the way of Garzy's wing, though, it's like, he's just like, yeah, no questions about Garzy's wing.
That does not exist.
Like, I would not want to interview him if I could only ask him softball questions. Like, I want to ask you about fucking Garzy's wing, dude. What the hell did you do wrong there? How much acid did you drop before making this?
Sorry, still getting over that.
Legitimately, I want to ask him how much acid he dropped when he decided to make a dude butt naked throughout, like, the first 5 or 10 minutes of the series.
That's when I'd smack him up. That's when I'd smack Kira here upside the head and tell him to shut up. Then I'd start asking questions about Gundam.
No, I want to ask him about what the fuck he did wrong there.
Something tells me it wasn't his idea.
Anyway, Garzy's wing is so horrible. It's good.
I only watched the first 12 minutes.
Like, it's kind of an endurance challenge with each episode. See how far you can make it.
We killed Yuki's childhood in that episode. Alas, our ongoing gag of killing Yuki's childhood is not going to work this episode because he's not here.
I mean...
You realize that what means we have to do next episode, right?
Talk about more Garzy?
No, we're gonna have to destroy his childhood next time.
I'm gonna give a further review of Garzy's wing. Because, like, I've only watched the first, like, third of the OVA, or OAV.
Whatever.
I cannot remember what it is.
I think it's OVA.
Because it's a three-part OVA. And, yeah, so far, I actually would give it a 4 out of 5.
Why?
Just because it's so horrendously good.
I plead ignorance.
But, yeah. Now,
Alright, I'm good now.
Talking about Seed there.
Alright.
One of Tomino's good works.
Yeah, big time. Alright, like I was saying, Gundam Seed was scheduled to have its own movie, but the plot was written. Production didn't go ahead because... Okay, here, I'll just read this, what I found. Although a plot was written, production did not go ahead on the Gundam Seed Destiny theatrical film. It would have been the first full-length Gundam meta series since Mobile Suit Gundam F91. But because of the delay, the Gundam 00 movie instead held that mantle. The film was first announced on May 6, 2006 at the Sony Music Anime Fest 2006 with a brief clip featuring the characters Shin Asuka, Kigali Yula Atha, Lacus Klein, Kira Yamato, Atherin Zala. I'll get all to most of those in the review, by the way. After the Sony Anime Fest announced the film on their website. In March of 2008, of Animage magazine, Chiaki Morosawa explained that a plot outline had been created, but she had fallen ill due to cancer and required continuous treatment. The project has been placed on indefinite hiatus, with Morosawa asking fans to continue to wait. Kuwashima, the voice, voice actor of character Stella from Gundam Seed Destiny, has stated on her Seed Club blog that the character will somehow have a role in the film. Lacus, Izak, and Diarca, again, I'll explain those, will return as members of the Planet Supreme Council, and Kira, Shin, and Luna Maria will be part of Zaft. But
they actually talk about this after you.
I was just trying to get to a point. All right, now on to the actual review. We're gonna go with regular Gundam Seed. I'll do Destiny later because that's a whole other series. All right, Gundam Seed. Unlike some of the others, this one actually takes place in the same time period as the original, just much later, because it takes place in the Cosmic Era. You know the Cosmic Era, right?
I don't think so.
Alright. Each Gundam series takes place in its own era. Hang on. Let me get back to Gundam Seed's page here. Whatever.
We'll just keep talking.
Alright. Well, Gundam Seed was more or less a racism story, believe it or not. Because in Gundam Seed...
All these crackers be keeping me down.
Actually, this is worse than that. Okay, you know how people are judged by race and religion and stuff?
All these crackers keep keeping me down.
I rest my case. But in this series, people are judged by their genetics.
All these purebreds keep keeping me down.
No. It's because in Gundam Seed, the Gundam Seed world... There are naturals, which are normal humans, and there are coordinators. People whose genetics have been altered to make them kind of, like, superior. They can think faster, they can learn more, they're faster, stronger.
So Spartans.
Not exactly.
Spartans.
But let me rephrase that. They have the potential to learn more. They have the potential to do all that.
Halo 3. Beginning to Halo 3. Spartans.
Whatever. But anyway, the story of Gundam Seed focuses on a young coordinator named Kira Yamato. The coordinators are the ones whose genetics have been rewritten.
All of these crackers keep keeping me down.
Now, the coordinators have been so horrible been treated so horrible by the naturals that they actually live in space. It's complicated, but they live in these things called the plants, which are like... more or less, they're like giant hourglasses in the sky that have been built to be able to...
Colonies.
Yeah, exactly, colonies.
So, far it sounds like Gundam Wing.
Well, they are all created by the same person.
Well, at least it's not Garzy's wing.
But, anyway, this series focuses on a young coordinator named Kira Yamato, who lives on on a colony that's different from the plants. This colony is owned by a neutral territory. Because there is a war going on between the plants and the Earth. The coordinators and the naturals. Gundam and war. Who knew?
I mean, God, such a new concept.
I know, right? But
wait, why didn't he think of this when writing Gundam Wing?
I know. Or the original Mobile Suit Gundam.
Or Gundam 00.
Oh, 00 came out later. But whatever. Or
which one am I thinking of, then? Oh, well.
Whatever. Anyway. He lives on a neutral in the land of a neutral territory. Because he's a kid. He's like 16 years old. He doesn't want to get involved in a war. I mean, seriously, what 16-year-old wants to get involved in a fight?
Well, look at the kids in Somalia.
Touche. You win this round. But, okay, actually, that wasn't really a fair question, because there are kids as old as him, if not some younger, fighting in this war. But one day, Kira and a couple of his friends are helping a professor with them with some computer stuff. I don't know. I need to watch it again. They discover that the colony that they're in is attacked by Zaft, which is the coordinator's fighting forces. You know?
Uh-huh.
All right. And everybody's just really confused why Zaft is attacking a neutral colony. But Kira manages to get away while he's in the school, but he ends up finding a secret research lab, and guess what's in it?
Gundams.
Because I don't know if this is a similar thing in most Gundam series, but in this series, it only starts off with 5 Gundams. I don't know if this is common or not.
Gundam Wing!
So it is common, more or less?
There's only 5 Gundams in general in Gundam Wing. Like, there's just Wing, Zero.
Death Scythe?
There's Wing Zero, Death Scythe, Heavy Arms, Dragon, I think it was called, and Sandrock.
Oh, okay. In Gundam Seed, there is X-102 Duel, whatever, I'll just go by their names, I don't know their numbers. There's Duel, there's Buster, Blitz, Aegis, and Strike. But there's only 2 left in the factory, because Zaft already made off with the Buster, the Blitz, and the... I said Buster and Blitz, right?
Yeah.
And the Duel. So they make off with those 3. But one of the Earth Forces officers who were secretly developing the Gundams in this neutral territory killed one of the Zaft pilots who was supposed to take the last Gundam. And the Earth Forces officer is trying to get those last 2 Gundams out, but as they're trying to board the Gundam, one of the Zaft officers is about to try to kill them, and Kira sees that it's his best friend.
Dang.
Yeah. It's his best friend, Athrun Zala. They're so in shock that the Earth Forces officer tries to shoot at Athrun. He barely gets away, and he just has to make it over to the other Gundam, which is the Aegis. But there's a problem with these Gundams right at this particular moment. You know what it is?
What's up?
The OS is whack.
Dang.
Yeah, the operating system barely even works.
Shit, dude.
See, this is where the coordinators come in handy. Because they reprogram these things like that. They're really good with computers. Seriously. In one of the Zaft mobile suits, a Jin comes in and is trying to take down the Strike, because they know it's an Earth Forces officer in there.
Right.
So Kira takes control of it, takes control of the Strike, because his friends are still in the area. So after that, And while fighting, he's reprogramming this giant mobile suit that he's never seen before.
Dang. It's pretty crazy.
And then he just... Not only does he do that, but he also learns its weapon systems and everything. And takes out this giant mobile suit for the first time that he's ever seen.
That's really crazy.
Yeah. But the thing is, he doesn't even want to fight, like I said. This guy's a pacifist. He hates fighting.
Dang.
It's not that he wants to fight. All he wants to do is protect.
Yeah, I think it's an excuse. I think he really wants to fight, but like, you don't want to admit it. It's like, I don't want to fight. In the back of his head, he's like, kill, 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 kill!
But, seriously, it's really good. It's a good series. And we later on were introduced to a lot of crazy characters and multiple love interests. It's insane. Such as... his best friend, Atherin, is engaged to this girl named Lacus Klein.
Her name makes me think of Lacquer.
Smack. Anyway. And Kira ends up with a girl named Flay Ulster.
No, I don't.
Not you, Kira! He ends up with a girl named Flay Ulster, who is the daughter of the Vice Minister of the Earth Forces. And she flat out says, I hate coordinators. Remember, Kira's a coordinator.
Guess he best keep his mouth shut.
No, she figures it out.
Did he hit her?
No. No, ironically enough, he slept with her. Yes!
Well, he didn't hit her, but he hit that.
In the series, it's just implied. But Gundam Seed has gotten OVAs, which are the same as the series, but it goes a bit more in-depth, and it skips pointless parts of the series.
There's also OVAs that are just fighting.
No, Gundam Seed's OVAs are all the same story, just skipping pointless parts.
No, I've actually seen a Gundam Seed OVA where it's like just there's these two parts, they're both 15 minutes apiece.
Oh, that's not what I'm talking about.
I'm saying that they're still Gundam Seed OVAs.
Oh, well damn. But anyway. But in the OVA, I think it's OVA 1. It's 1 or 2. I'm not sure which. I just know it's...
The first one.
That's actually probably right. But in the first one, OVA, it actually does show it. To an extent. To an extent.
I'm intrigued.
I'll show you later. But, anyway, as the series goes on, we meet another character, Kigali Ulaatha, who is the princess of the Nation of Orb, which is the neutral nation I was talking about earlier.
Right.
And as the series goes on, the love interests just... start falling apart and mending somewhere else. Exhibit A, after Kira breaks it off with Flay, I'm not trying to spoil, so just be mindful of what I'm saying right now. After, at one point, Lacus and Atherin's engagement is broken. I'm not going to say why, but... And Kira breaks it off with Flay, and at later points...
I did?
Kira ends up with Lacus. Not you, Kira.
Oh.
Yes, you're not going to sleep with Flay.
I wouldn't want to anyway. Her name sounds like Flea.
No, dude, she's actually pretty hot.
Eh, her name sort of reminds me of the bass player.
I could have made a joke there, but I'm going to choose not to. Anyway. And Atherin... ends up with Kigali, and there's just some crazy stuff that goes on as the series goes on. But Kira was voted the most popular anime character for a couple of years.
I was?
Not you!
Well, I am pretty popular in the anime world.
As compared to what?
True.
I mean, seriously, we're hardly known at this point.
I was known in Anime Vault. People knew me.
How well?
We were getting like 600 downloads a month.
Not now, you're not.
I went from like
middle
top
of the
top of the bottom to poverty stricken anonymity.
Lols. We'll get back there, sir. We'll get back there, buddy. I swear to God, man. But anyway,
blackout.
But I'm serious. Give this a look. It's really worth it. I myself give it a 5. I'll show Kira here at some point, and he can give his own rating later if he so desires.
I'll probably talk about it. I'll probably get my own opinion on it after I watch some of it.
I have some DVDs you can borrow.
Well, I still gotta finish watching Trigun and Saber and Neo Ranga and Ice Shield and
Garzy's Wing.
Garzy's. God, I've only got an hour left, but that is going to be a chore. It's like, you know that, it's like a thing that, like, you really want to finish it, but you know for a fact that
you just can't.
It's going to be hell just getting through it.
Like homework.
Yeah. And it's like, what did you really get out of it at the end? You already knew it. What did you get out of doing it?
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly, but I'm going to finish Garzy's Wing, even if it kills me.
Which it likely will.
If I'm dead, I want my eulogy given at a whorehouse.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I'm guessing that's about the end of the episode for this week.
Yep, we're short. We don't really have much else to talk about.
We don't really have our full cast with us this week. I'm sorry if this episode didn't turn out as well because we're lacking Yuki.
Yeah, he likes to bounce our jokes off.
Like, we're that kind of show where we kind of need everybody.
I mean, we're okay with just the two of us, but without... Seriously, the three of us are like bros. We need each other to make this work. Right?
Yeah. Anyway, just like I always tell you, if you got any questions or comments for us, just go to the Facebook page or send us an email at otaku_overload@yahoo.com.
Your comments and concerns are important to us.
We like hearing from you, and show your friends, show your family, show your neighbors.
Show your friends. Show your friends' friends. Show your friends without friends.
Like, just show people.
Show complete strangers.
Like, spread the word.
Spread the word, people!
Here soon we're actually going to be making our promo, so any other podcast that's listening to us, we would really appreciate it if you would actually play our promo and help us get, you know, people to listen to us.
We can only get better if you guys help us.
We can't provide you with a better show if we don't get feedback.
Yeah.
Otherwise the show's going to stay how it is, and if you guys don't like how it is now, you're probably not going to like it like how it is in the future.
But, seriously,
like,
we are going to try to do better, but only if you help us.
Download the show, tell your friends, tell your families, tell your neighbors.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends as friends. Tell your friends without friends.
Preach our gospel, brother.
All glory to God.
Anyway, I'm Kira.
I'm Zero.
And we're still farming them fields.
With that rake.
I don't think we want to use that rake. It's been in my bunghole.
Whatever you say, Mr. Farmer.
Paper, scissors, rock you like a candy cane otaku. Make a joke, you laugh your arse off. Break it down and dance like Karnoff. Action Jackson doing what he has to. Never been a has-been, always been a bad dude. Punch the monkey, win an iPod, throw in a ninja, just more kicks. Go to Mickey D's to get a quarter pounder. Fat in the line, no way to get around her. Take it as is, or take it as it would be. Futuristic vision dishing out another goodie. Let's take a look, see you never understand us. Jackie Chan dusts in the gut with their sandals. The jerk store call, they're running out of you. But me, they got free samples.
Come and get it. More
badass,
more badass
than Bob Ross. Plain Okami,
Plain Okami,
with the lights off,
lights off.
Got a broadsword,
and I'm ready to pounce.
All your basement,
all your basement
are mine now.
Are mine now.